from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good Friday music. Oh yeah, here we go. Happy Friday, everyone. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Just myself today. Josh is enjoying a much-needed vacation. Apparently, as I heard yesterday, he is going to a polo match. Didn't realize those took place outside of Europe and even more insularly, the United Kingdom. Did not know that was a thing here in the United States. Hope he enjoys himself. I hope he wears something that fits, that is correct for the environment he's going to be in. I feel like you can't just wear a polo shirt. I could be wrong, though. Very excited, though, today. Friday, got the Open Championship going on. We've got a Formula One race this weekend as well in Hungary. FP1 practice happened a few hours ago. I've currently got the golf going on right now. And we've got training camps getting underway. Chicago's going to get on the field today. Houston was on the field yesterday. The Bills are going to be on the field next week, Wednesday. Everyone will be reported by Tuesday. I cannot wait. It's been too long. I love the summer. I do love aspects of the offseason. Of course, we all know I'm a draft junkie. But man, I get to a point where it's just like, let's get the ball rolling. I said a little bit last night on the nightcap where it's just, you get to a point where everything has been said. You've come up with all the theories. You've come up with everything you could say to give yourself hope, to give yourself, you know, a realistic outlook on your team, what have you. And now it's time to actually see the players get on the field. It is time to see if how your team was built this year is built correctly. If, you know, if you're rebuilding, is the rebuild going well? If you're retooling, did you do what you needed to do? Or if you're a contender, are you actually a contender? Or are there weak spots in your team that just you probably won't be able to figure out
the rest of the year. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. And there's a number of things that I'm excited for, namely the new look wide receiver room. Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis out the door, and in come guys like Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Chase Claypool, among others. Of course, you also have returning faces such as Khalil Shakir. But man, that room alone is just, it's a story in of itself of how is this going to look now for the Bills. They've had very much the same kind of core guys for the last 4 years. Gabe Davis kind of worked his way up until the last 2 years where he's been the number two. But for the most part, it has been Diggs, Davis, and then a few guys that they'll add here and there. They've already moved off of some of the older guys, such as Cole Beasley and John Brown from a number of years ago. Emmanuel Sanders is only a one-year stop here. But now it's a completely new wide receiver room. And I'd even argue it's kind of a new skill position room with the fact that Dalton Kincaid is not just a rookie this year. I mean, at this time last year, we were talking about how quickly will they really be able to get him on the field. There was talks that they were just going to do what he is good at, move on, figure it out afterwards, and let him just go catch the ball. But now it's at a point of, he just needs to be a guy on the field, helping the team out right away. Will he be able to do it? All the numbers from last year tell you he would be able to. He was a guy that, with the transition from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady as OC, he was somebody that was on track for 113 targets, even with Stephon Diggs on the team. So now, you got to wonder, all right, now you're kind of the guy. You're not going through the craziness that is an NFL rookie year for guys. And he also had to deal with an injury to his back. So we didn't even get to see him much during the combine. He was rehabbing and then hit the ground running. Here we go. Now he's got a whole offseason under his belt. He's moving forward. We'll see what he's going to offer. Khalil Shakir, somebody that I know me and Josh are very excited about. I've been excited for Shakir since they drafted him outside of Boise State. But can he put together a full season? We haven't seen that yet. His rookie year, he's a fifth-round rookie. You don't expect him to get a ton of reps. They eventually figured it out, and he had some big moments in big games. His second year was an atrocious training camp. We're talking about guys like Andy Isabella potentially being over him, potentially should make the team over him if it weren't for Shakir being a second-round guy rather than a third, four-year guy. But by the second half of the season, he really found himself and became a dynamic member of the Bills' offense, really one of the few consistent wide receivers Allen could rely on. What's he going to look like this year? What is he going to offer this Bills team now that he is, in some ways, one of the few established guys on this Bills roster? Then you have others, Curtis Samuel. Comes in and basically hasn't had a quality quarterback in his life, it seems like. Now he gets Josh Allen. I'm somebody that kind of wonders, was Gabe Davis kind of getting help from Josh Allen rather than just being himself a very, very good receiver? I think his year in Jacksonville is going to be very interesting. Now Curtis Samuel comes in and is really the only guy of this room that you have enough evidence of to tell yourself or to convince yourself, hey, this could work. This could be really good. He comes in kind of this gadget guy, but also having seen what he did with Joe Brady in 2020 and parts of 21, looked pretty darn good. You can kind of get excited about it. But man, it is a bit nerve-wracking. I'm saying this, and I'm pretty excited, but it's nerve-wracking. Because if this does go poorly, if ultimately I've kind of, you know, made my bed with this, I think this is the way of the future. I think this is where a lot of quality contending teams will start to go. But ultimately, if this is wrong, if this is a bad move, if guys like Keon Coleman come out of his rookie year and you're sitting there going, oh, they whiffed on that pick. If he's Quentin Johnston this year, we can start talking about the Bills having potentially wasted a year of Josh Allen. And I would argue they've done a few years here where they just have simply not put enough around the offense. It has been too much discount shopping and not enough really going for it. And you don't need to do that by always drafting guys in the first round or making big trades for someone, say, like Brandon Ayuk, or a few years ago when A.J. Brown was available. But look at what Green Bay did. Second, third round. Just pick a guy. grab somebody. He may not have the tools to develop into a number one, but does he add a speed factor? Is he a really good route runner? You know, does he add an element to your offense that maybe you didn't have, or is he just very good at one specific thing? You know, to a certain extent, you could argue they traded for Stephon Diggs, and that was really it. That was their big move, and after that, they just kind of kept, you know, we'll add 34-year-old Emmanuel Sanders and hope he's still got enough left. You know, well, Gabe Davis is a fourth-round pick, looked pretty good. We'll keep riding with him. I think now they've moved off of that. Khalil Shakir's fifth-round pick is really hit, but then they go draft Dalton Kincaid, and then the next year they draft Keon Coleman. I think they're now moving towards that, but it did take a while to get there, and that is my worry. You can miss on those picks. I mean, ultimately, look at Kansas City. Kansas City has missed on most of those picks. Sky Moore is nearly unplayable. Rashee Rice looked good, but ultimately, he's going to be suspended potentially as much as 10 games. Then you go to guys that they've traded picks away to bring in. Kadarius Toney actively hurt the team. And then we'll see with Xavier Worthy. I am somebody, I watched him for 3 years at Texas. I know many listeners know I'm a huge Longhorns fan. I loved him as a Longhorn. I would have not drafted him as a Bills fan. I just wouldn't have. He's too small. He is not Tyreek Hill. That should not be his comparable. They are 20 pounds of difference between the two. Tyreek Hill is 20 pounds heavier, stronger. His comparison is at best Hollywood Brown, who he is now on the same roster with. So they haven't been perfect, but they've been trying. I would almost argue Green Bay has been borderline perfect on it. Just keep adding guys, and it just works out perfect that they're all really darn good players. But it's going to be interesting, and I think it's maybe the most interesting storyline. For me, the defense, I don't know how much of an interesting storyline there is, really. I think the health is going to be there. I think they've got more depth at linebacker than they have had in years. I think the secondary, the same thing. They moved off of, well, you know, incredible veterans. Guys got older, and they eventually moved on to younger guys, and they even go and add a second-round pick in Cole Bishop, which I think is going to be huge for the future of this secondary. You have very good cornerbacks. Teron Johnson, who I think is still underrated in the NFL. Christian Benford has looked really good, and Rasul Douglas was a masterstroke of a trade last year to come in and be part of what I think is becoming a new transition for the Bills a big transition for the Bills defense of making big plays rather than just being very consistent and very good. They're instead going for the game-changing plays to get the ball back in their offense's hands and to get the ball back to their best player and their best chance of winning a Super Bowl, and that is Josh Allen. But let's go to the phones here as we've got Jerry in Kenmore. Jerry, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Good morning. I think one of the things that's going to go away is we got significantly younger with moving players out, like the safeties and Diggs. And, you know, injuries have been an issue the past 2 years. And I think when you get younger, you address some of the injury issues. But what I want to talk about is the wide receivers. We learned a valuable lesson last year. When we were good 3 and 4 years ago, the third and fourth and fifth receiver were veteran guys that had started in this league, whether it's Cole Beasley or John Brown or Sanders. Last year, there's a reason that Hardy and Sherfield and Isabella were available. They've never started in this league, and they've never been good receivers. If you get a good quarterback, veteran-level players at those positions, and we have that again with Claypool and Samuel and what's his name from KC?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
They have started in this league. Hardy never started. Sherfield never started. I think we got to stop thinking we can take something and make it into something. The NFL is very good who in the league is bad their first 2 years and all of a sudden gets good? This league is, you usually are what you are like almost immediately in this league, unless you're a quarterback or a corner. It just doesn't pop and all of a sudden you're good. I think the wide receiver position is actually going to be better this year than it was last year. I don't know what happened to Davis the last year and a half, but every time a ball that was thrown by Allen that was intercepted or missed the guy by 30 yards, the target was always Davis. And I don't know why they weren't on the same page. That never used to happen. That never happened with Diggs. There was never a ball thrown 20 yards away from Diggs when twice a game it would happen with Davis. I don't know if he's not running the right routes or they're just on the wrong page. You know, those sideline catches that Davis was making in his rookie year, they just went away. I don't know what happened to Davis, but I think they're going to be better than people think at the wide receiver position just because of guys that know how to play the game.
Jerry, thanks for the call, man. And I, for the most part, agree with that. I really, really do. I mean, me and Josh put up a poll, I want to say last week, near the end of the week, that it was basically like, what wide receiver room would you take, 2023 or 24? And, of course, 2023 had Stephon Diggs. He gets traded away. But I think you're spot on in your analysis that the biggest problem last year was that their number two, three, four guys weren't good. They weren't getting open. They weren't consistent enough. And ultimately, if Diggs really is having, you know, the 30-year blues kind of show up and you know, his abilities are dipping, there was no one else to kind of take over the load that was being just put on Diggs' back. And it eventually got to a point where the offense was better by not going to Stephon Diggs, by not having him be the lead guy on the offense. It became to a point where, you know, Shakir and Kincaid were leading the team in receptions, or James Cook was. And now you do have more, I would say, somewhat established guys. I am still leery on bringing up somebody like Chase Claypool, like you did, just because his first 2 years in the league were really solid with big pop moments. But then he was a non-factor on two teams that did kind of need him. Yes, quarterback play being bad to, you know, kind of average, I guess, with Tua. I get very leery about Claypool and hedging my bets, I guess, with him. I think once Marquez Valdes-Scantling got signed, that was the Bills sort of signaling, I think even to themselves and some of the fans, hey, if Claypool doesn't work, we still got a guy on the outside that we know for sure at least will make a few plays. And then the Keon Coleman stuff. And that's, Keon is maybe the most interesting guy because I think most of this offseason since he's been drafted, it's been really nice, like, media moments and mic moments that get you excited. The Bills, of course, release a video, as they always will, for the, you know, the draft prospect at minicamp, that he looks really good. And even I said it, you know, outright, like, I don't want to believe this, but he looks really, really smooth. It looks very effortless for him. And I've heard a few, you know, people that are like on NFL Network and ESPN talking about how effortless he, or, you know, how he makes the difficult look easy and stuff like that. You know, the buzzwords and the phrases that you hear that get you excited. He, I think, is the guy that this kind of all hinges on. If he is pretty darn good right away, they've got a really good wide receiver room. It's not flashy, but most of the best moves in sports are never the sexy moves. It's why math might be the most important subject a person can learn, and yet it's easily the worst. It's not fun. It's hard. It's difficult. The Bills have made a lot of hard and difficult moves this offseason. They have moved off of a lot of stalwart veterans, fan favorite guys. And they did so, I would say, in some ways, quite brutally. You know, there's a reason why last week when we had Greg Thompson on, you know, we call it Black Wednesday. They just kind of got rid of everybody. It made sense. You knew it was kind of coming. But when it happened, it was like, oh, okay, look, we're doing this. And then, to your main point, Jerry, they did get younger. They move off of Stephon Diggs, who, you know, is potentially on the opposite end of 30 here in terms of his play, and they go to a lot of young guys. Curtis Samuel himself is ultimately 27. You've signed him to a 3-year deal. You'll be out of it by the time he's 30. Beautiful. Perfect. Where everyone else, you know, Shakir is 24. Kincaid is 24. Coleman, 21. Just turned 21. It's a lot of young guys you can build around. This is where I've wanted them to go. This is what I've wanted them to do. Their biggest problem is they've had other needs they've had to fill. I think that's ultimately been a big problem, or maybe a big realization for me, at least, in the last 2 or 3 years, is they have not been the most talented team in football. They have not been a team without holes. Like, I think many of us thought once they signed Von Miller, they weren't that team yet. Now they might be. I think they have more pop players that can decide games. You know, looking back at Von Miller's first year in Buffalo, before his torn ACL, he was exactly what the Bills signed. That's exactly what they wanted, a finisher, someone that puts a game away. Now, let's see what happens with him. It's another year post the torn ACL. This is typically the recovery process. We had Aaron Quinn on from Cover One. He sort of said the same thing of just, you know, you can sort of start to see it in these videos of there's more pop. He's got more burst than he had last year. Terrell Bernard, who I joke all the time, he made more big plays in three games than Tremaine Edmonds made in 3 years. And that's not to disrespect Tremaine Edmonds, who was a very solid middle linebacker for the Bills from day one. But immediately Bernard came in and was making big plays. They are getting younger, and I think they are ultimately getting better. This year might be somewhat painful. They do have talented teams in the division, in the Jets and the Dolphins. But ultimately, they still have core pieces on the defense. They have the main guy they need on the defense, that being Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage, still here running the defense. And then for the offense, I think they've become more versatile, which is something they simply weren't last year. With Ken Dorsey, it was a lot of home run balls when they didn't have the guys really to do that. And then with Joe Brady, yes, it became more run dominant, but I just fervently believe that was due to necessity, that ultimately they did not have the weapons to throw the ball as much as they wanted to or in the way they wanted to. And now they potentially have that, not in spades. I still think wide receiver is a need. I still don't see necessarily a guy developing into a one that we have to debate paying in 4 years. I don't see that yet. Keon Coleman could change my mind in 4 or 5 games. But until then, I'm not seeing it yet. I still think they need more young guys. And I still haven't really seen Khalil Shakir in a full year. I still haven't seen Dalton Kincaid in a full year. We'll see what happens with Joe Brady and what he's doing. But I am so excited for this offense with a hint of nervousness because it is something new and it is not flashy. And it's much easier to, in your head, get behind something that's flashy, something that everyone seems to like. Where, you know, if you turn on ESPN and they're talking about the Bills, what are they saying? It's typically that the window is closed, that the Bills are not doing enough for Josh Allen. I'd argue against that, but all of us also, you know, follow this team 24/7, 365. But it's much easier to grab onto something that is flashy, a Brandon Ayuk trade, a trade-up for Roma Dunze, or even a trade-up for Brian Thomas Jr. It is less to do so than trading back and taking a guy in the second round and going just above discount shopping at wide receiver. Because I would not ever say Curtis Samuel's discount shopping, but it is still not a flashy move per se. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Nico on the line. Nico, my friend, how are we doing today?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, listen, so you're getting me excited, brother. I mean, everything you're saying, I'm completely on board with. I would, if I could add a few things, just to provide a little bit of clarity to the audience as well, in terms of our perspective. But, you know, I really felt like last year was a lot, almost felt, and the only difference is we have a different version of Josh than we had in that year without the defense we had in there. So I kind of felt like last year's offense was a lot like 2019 in terms of personnel.
Ooh, meaning, okay.
You know, we had a decent back, but like you said, you know, we didn't just, you know, we had Diggs, right? But we had a different version of Diggs. We didn't have the best version of Diggs. And in addition to that, we just didn't have go-to people. I think we added Brown and Beasley that following year. All of a sudden, things started to click for Josh because people were open. Where were we getting open? In the middle of the field. When they were running blitzes, and remember this distinctly, when teams would try to say, oh, yeah, just man up on Buffalo, Josh can't throw against man, or Josh can't throw against zone. All of a sudden, you added Beasley in, and Brown beat man, and Beasley beat the zone. And I feel like automatically he skyrocketed into being like MVP conversation. So I think if you kind of transform into this year, I do believe that we kind of have a similar wide receiver kind of dynamic where we have these guys that are coming in now that can beat the zone and beat the man. And then we have, you know, a really interesting person in Coleman who could potentially be something special, but we won't probably know that until after this year. So that's that piece. I would also say, so there's two other pieces I'd like to touch upon. One is the coordinating piece. I do believe, and I firmly believe this, and you're touching upon it just recently, but I firmly believe Brady has the capabilities of running an offense that's not predictive, if that makes sense. I felt like we became very predictive. Like, you can't tell me when Dable was coaching how many times I could tell you in a game where there would be plays he would scheme up at some point in the game where a guy was so wide open, Josh could miss. Or Josh would pull the ball and he was walking in the end zone. That did not occur at all last year. At all last year, it was like you had to beat the defender to the ball,
or Josh had to put a laser beam into coverage. Now I think with Joe, we're going to see more of kind of what we saw with Dable. Not necessarily the same type of offense, but an offense in which we're going to scheme and there's going to be guys wide open. There's going to be guys that we can't miss. I do believe that's going to happen. Now, I will tell you, we're going to have to be a little patient because these guys are just coming into the team and it's going to take time for chemistry to build. But I do believe that we will be our best version of ourselves for 24-25, more towards the back half of the season than the front half.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last point is, and this is the point that I think a lot of people are missing out on, and that is I do believe we were well past the time to, like, transition our personnel over on defense to a younger, faster group. Because I don't care what anybody says, one thing McDermott can do is coach defense, and I will tell there was a great point made yesterday about him being successful in the playoffs, you know, with his defenses. But I do think in the playoffs, most recently, we were exposed because of personnel issues. I do think this personnel, and again, it's going to take time, I think the youth, the influx of youth in speed, I think is going to have a significant impact on our defense. And if we stay off the injury bug this year, I think we're going to have a very dangerous team. What I tell people is the goal is Cincinnati from 2 years ago. That's the type of personnel we have, and I don't think we're far off right now. You know, other than, you know, we don't have two number ones at receiver, potential number ones at receiver. Well, we don't know yet to see how Coleman turns out, but that's just my thought process on this year.
Yeah, Nico, man, great job, dude. Thanks for the call. I like the 2019 comparison you made right at the beginning because I think there's a different vibe, though, with 2019 to 2023. 2019 was discovering John Brown is a pretty damn good wide receiver and Cole Beasley is one of the best slot receivers in football. It was different last year because it was, oh, what's going on with Diggs? What's happening there? And you sort of see the downfall. There's this different vibe. Ultimately, though, it's kind of the same statistics. And you're right. There's a different Josh Allen now. Now we have an Allen who is, you know, fully established in the league, his throwing motion. You know, he's worked on his game compared to his second year. On the Brady stuff, Brady gets me excited in almost the sense because he doesn't have to rely on a number one wide receiver to get results. You look at that 2020 team for Carolina, a bad football team by most measures. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's their starting quarterback, and I think P.J. Walker's the backup and actually gets in. But he had D.J. Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel all flirting with 1,000 yards. I think Robbie Anderson and D.J. Moore were just over, and Samuel's at like 800 yards. If Josh Allen's the quarterback with those three guys that year with Joe Brady, we're looking at a far different program than what they ultimately were. And of course, that's just looking at stats and not necessarily, you know, situational and stuff like that. But we can all argue correctly that the 2024 Bills are likely better than the 2020 Carolina Panthers. I'm excited for him. I'm excited what he can do. And yeah, I do think you're right with the defense and everything there. They're getting younger. The personnel is better, I think, moving forward. The personnel that the Bills have had, it's kind of the same vibe as, but you knew they were good. They've made iconic plays for you. This is a group of players. I know somebody, you know, 26 years old. I grew up in the drought. These are the guys that brought the program forward into relevancy and then dominance. It was hard to see a lot of these guys go. But I think ultimately for the betterment of the team going forward, it needed to be done. It's just a painful thing, and it's not sexy. And so during the offseason, because we have 7 months of it, it can get very painful, and we all kind of get into our gears wondering what the hell is happening, especially when the talking heads for, you know, national basis, when they, you know, again, can't cover the team 365, 24/7, don't see maybe necessarily the big picture. They just look at the roster and go, they're missing Diggs and Davis and Trey White and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Well, they're dead in the water. Why even show up anymore? And I think that couldn't be further from the truth. I do think the Bills are setting themselves up for a much better future. And even if you want to look towards next offseason, they're going to have more money and potentially double-digit draft picks to keep building towards that future. This is how you take advantage of a quarterback in his prime, is by having a ton of draft picks and potentially having money to spend while also staying competitive like I think they will this year. Thank you for the calls. That was us getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We're going to transition a little bit from football, though, but if you want to get in and join the show, give your thoughts on how you're feeling now that the offseason is all but over. We got training camp next week, Wednesday. 803-0550 is the number to call. But coming up next, Jeff Metis, former PGA Pro and one of our Tee to Green hosts every Saturday morning, will be joining me to talk the Open Championship over in Scotland. And at 11 o'clock, Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis Indy's kind of an interesting team in the AFC South and AFC in general. What's Anthony Richardson going to be? Where are the vibes at with Indy? And, of course, Caitlin Clark as well. 19 assists. She's scoring triple doubles. Well favored to be the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Want to get his thoughts on all that as well. That's coming up at 11. But next up, Jeff Metis after a quick timeout. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, no, I knew going out was going to be difficult. I knew the front line was going to be quite tough. I watched a lot of golf this morning, which I normally do, and I learned a little bit from that. And, you know, I went out there and I just tried to play my own game and stay out of bunkers and just do my thing. And thankfully, it's a good round.
There is Shane Lowry. Very good round yesterday and continues to do so as he's wrapped up his round for today. I love when sporting events are overseas. They're done in the morning. It's wonderful. He is sitting at 7 under par. Got a 2-stroke lead on Daniel Brown, who's still in the middle of his round. But today, Lowry did shoot a 69. Very good round for him. We go now, though, for more on the golf to the Wester Hotline as PGA Pro and one of our Tee to Green hosts here on WGR, Jeff Metis, joins the show. Jeff, good morning, my friend. It's been a long time since we've talked. How you doing?
Good. How are you? You don't have to do those Saturday mornings anymore, do you?
No, I get to sleep in. It's wonderful. I wake up at 9:30 in bliss.
Yeah, like a normal person, not like a golfer. See, golfers are up early no matter what. So, yeah.
I will tell you, though, Jeff, last weekend, I've gotten into golf pretty aggressively the last 2 years to play. My brother's gotten into it this summer. And we decided, spur of the moment, we went to a family gathering like 2 hours away. We're like, next day, let's do a 6:12 a.m. tee time. I have never felt better. the round was bad, I've never felt better.
It's a nice way to play. You buzz around. There's no one in front of you. You play fast, and then you still have the rest of your day.
It's absolutely beautiful. I'm a big fan of it. But on the early tee times, here on the East Coast, you know, across the Atlantic, we're getting to see what's going on at Royal Toon. It's already kind of finishing up today. What have you made from, effectively, now the first two rounds?
Well, it's been fun to watch. What can I make of it? It looks like there's just a disaster waiting to happen with one bad shot anywhere. I really enjoy watching these guys play this type of golf course. You know, the wind is starting to pick up this afternoon. There's still a lot of players on the golf course. The bunkering is so penal that, you know, I remember years ago when Tiger won one of his events, he didn't hit it in the bunker all week. He kept hitting irons off the tee. And just the different type of golf and the creativity. You see Shane Lowry near the lead. He's got an Open championship already. It's his only Open, or his only major is an Open. And Justin Rose is close to the lead too, and his only victory is an Open champion. It's a different type of golf, and it's really enjoyable to watch. It's a more unique and creative type of golf, and there's a lot more. As we say, rub of the green or bad breaks or good breaks. You know, you hit it in one of those bunkers, you pitch out sideways to the rough, or you hit it at the lip and it bounces towards the pin, and you got 5 feet. So there's a lot more variance for good shots and bad shots. You good shots that turn out great or bad. Sometimes things you just get a little bit of a funny bounce once in a while, and it's more of a game than I feel like, because there's a little more randomness in this golf. But I just love watching it. I love watching the wind. I wish there was a little rain. Yeah. But it's super enjoyable. And I like watching the players' motions and swings and how great their short games are. So that's usually what I gather from watching events like this, how these guys are playing and how good their short games are.
So one thing that was interesting for me coming into this, I don't know if you necessarily watch a ton of YouTube, but Bryson DeChambeau, who obviously just won the U.S. Open, he's got his YouTube channel, and he was kind of giving a breakdown of like how he like practices going into major tournaments, and I'd watched that on like Wednesday, and I immediately was like, man, like this is going to be kind of cool, like Bryson's really growing in popularity, this whole thing, and you know, he just won the U.S. Open, and now I'm seeing this, like he's clearly a hard worker, and him and Rory McIlroy, I just in day one seem completely out of it. Is this kind of like what you expect though from like an Open Championship, where just guys that you maybe expect going into it, they're coming off a high. I mean, Rory just did pretty darn well in the Scottish Open, and then it's just cratered basically on day one.
Yeah, I you never expect it, because Rory just played so well in the Scottish, and he's done so well in the majors that even though Rory hasn't won, he's had such a great record in the majors. Over the last 4 or 5 years, he's been in the top 10 a million times, close to the lead. Bryson DeChambeau, I never know. But it is part of the randomness of the golf. And then there's the draw. So, like, this year it hasn't been as bad or as so sometimes, like, if you start early and then play late, the second day it's way better than starting late and playing early based on the weather. There's, you know, Bryson DeChambeau or Rory's trying to make a heroic run to the cut right now, basically. Same with DeChambeau. He's going to have to play well just to make the cut. But there's, you know, I think it's one of those events where if you make the cut, if you're a couple over and you're within 5, 7, 8 shots going into the weekend, you have a legitimate chance. If you play very well, and you never know what's going to happen to those few players in front of you, it's kind of bunched up right now with Lowry at 7 and Brown at 5. And then a lot of people from like 2 under to 1 or 2 over. So really tight grouping there. Cuts off only at 4 over right now. So 1 or 2 of those guys comes back to the field a little bit. Then the race is on. But you know, Lowry, he's won this event before, and he's grown up on these type of facilities. So in this type of weather and this type of golf courses. So I'd be surprised if he came back, because he's a proven winner and it seems to have great rhythm, and he's putting super well right now. And all those things combine to help you win a championship.
I do also want to get your thought, because you mentioned that bunched up group of two unders. Scottie Scheffler, he seemed like he was really making a run here in the back nine. Two birdies, but then bogeys 18. He sits at two under, not by any means out of contention. But what have you made of his game in, I would even just say, the recent months? It seemed like he was on a trajectory that many people were comparing him to the early 2000s Tiger, maybe the best golfer we had seen since then. And then he has everything go on at the PGA Championship and is, I don't want to say he's like fallen off a cliff, because he hasn't. But it seems like he has not really been in the media feel. He hasn't really. It seems like he's kind of somewhat disappeared a little bit.
I don't know. I think he's played well. I think the putts haven't dropped. I've watched him the last few days, and he's playing really solid golf. And his short game's just amazing. All their short games are amazing. But he's been getting up and down, very solid. Not cashing in on putts. Looks like he's hitting good putts, but they're not dropping. So, you know, sometimes it just takes a little tweak, a little better read, or just a little bit of luck. One of the hardest things to do in golf is putt when it's very windy. So, you know, as the day goes on here and it gets windier and windier, you're going to see a lot more missed putts than made putts. And he's hit a lot of good putts. He still continues to hit it solid. You can't be firing on all cylinders every week all the time. He is already to six wins, I believe, for the year, which is, I think, second or third best in the history of the tour by this time, even ahead of Tiger. Tiger's had more wins, but he also had some later in the season. He's very good. He's very impressive. He's very solid. That's the word I use. So he hasn't had his best, but his ball striking is so consistent and so solid, and his short game is so good, that even if he's not making putts or at 100%, he's still going to be right near the lead as he is right now. Takes one good round, he's right near the lead, and then he's got to be filled with all kinds of confidence going into this weekend, especially the way he's played this year.
I do also, and this was something that just kind of came to my mind this morning. He's not been a golfer that's been on my mind really for a few months here now, but Wyndham Clark, he obviously is going to Paris with the U.S. Olympic golf team, but He was battling Scotty, it felt like, for like two or three tournaments to start the year, especially at the Players. He ultimately finished a second there. And he has really and truly just vanished, not making cuts, completely out of contention, never even in contention. Where is his game gone? Because he was somebody who kind of came out of nowhere to win a U.S. Open, has been really good, has won some events as well. But now it seems like to end the year, or the end of the major year, he's just is just a non-factor.
You know, sometimes you see that with a player when they achieve a dream or a goal, right? You it's like then there's that breather, that victory lap kind of say, hey, I worked for this a whole life and now I've got it. And, well, what's my goal now? What am I working towards now? And then there's all these other demands on your time now and, you know, expectations. You know, expectations are tough. It's tough when you're on the team, everybody expects you to win. It's a lot easier if no one thinks you're going to win to win a golf tournament. But the expectations and maybe it changed his routine because of the demands on his time now, or his sponsors and things like that, or just, you know, you take that deep breath after something like that and everything, your life kind of changed. That's the only thing I can think of. And it's such a razor thin line between playing at that level and being in 30th on the PGA Tour. You know what I mean? It's just that it's a shot around if you think about it. It's very, very difficult. It's hard to say. He could have lost confidence, but, you know, he's a fine player. I'm not worried about his long-term prognosis. He's just going through a valley. You know, golfers, we have peaks and valleys. Some days we all play, we feel like we should be on the tour and we haven't missed a shot And then some days we feel like we've never picked up a golf club in our lives. And the tour players go through the same thing. You see the frustrations. You see people, you know, hitting shots that you don't expect from really good players. And so everybody has the same fight in golf. It's just these guys have a lot more skill and talent and natural ability than the rest of us.
Feels like Victor Hovland might also kind of be going through that. I mean, he really hasn't been a part of much this year. I mean, he's had run in some of these majors, but he seems to have gone from a guy that just kind of felt destined to win a major, really battling Scotty a lot last year, to this year he's just, I know he went through a coaching change and stuff like that, but he's another guy that just, it seems like when they show up to the majors, I don't even really think about him much anymore.
Yeah, and sometimes the courses don't fit your eye, or there might be what, you know, like, because there's so many areas of a golf game that could be leaky. You know, I mean, you got to drive it well, you got to pitch and chip and putt well, you got to hit your irons well, your bunker play's got to be good, your mental game's got to be good, your fitness needs to be on point. You have to be in the right frame of mind for everything you're doing. And sometimes it's a little thing like, hey, my bunker play's not where it should be right now, and I can't get, or my driver, something happened, my driver shaft broke, and I can't find a driver that really works for me. And now I'm, you know, instead of hitting the, I'm missing the fairway by 5 yards, but that 5 yards makes the, all the difference in the world, especially in events like this. So, it's hard to say. The talent level is so supreme. And if you look at the scores these guys are shooting, I mean, how often does somebody shoot 59 now? It used to be the rarest thing when L. Geiberger did it. No one did it for you until David Duval or something years later, like 20, 30 years later. And now I feel like it happens 4 or 5 times a year. And the courses are longer and tougher and greens are faster and everything else. So the quality of the players are better. So if you're, it's, you know, I often compare them to Olympic athletes. Like to win, you've got to be, you know, you've got to be at the top of your game and beat 156 of the best players in the world on a really, really difficult golf course. So sometimes it doesn't work out. It could be one bad swing that prevents you from winning, you know, and puts you in a bad spot or a bad break. So that's the game of golf. You kind of just keep fighting. There's some random stuff's going to happen. You try to put yourself in position to win as often as you can. And more times than not, you're not going to. But if you're a guy like Tiger, you do. Or, you know, you get every once in a way the breaks go your way, or you play great those last few holes. And like last week at the Scottish Open, what a finish. So random things like that. You know, Adam Scott played awesome last week. A lot of people thought he should win. He's playing well again this week. You know, guy goes eagle, 3-3-3, you know, just finishes out like that on in his home country to win. So you can only control what you can control, and sometimes you're not in complete control of your game, and that's why it's so much fun to watch the majors and see these guys play so well around such a difficult golf course in such difficult conditions with you know, the biggest prize in the world at stake.
Last thing for me, Jeff, and this is a question I didn't know if I'd have to ask you today because I thought there was a pretty solid chance he would disappear. Daniel Brown, who I believe is the 273rd ranked player and has only been in a few PGA events, he's still sitting pretty good at lone second place. He's 5 under for the tournament, plus one for today. I believe he's on hole 16. He's surviving, right? I mean, he's keeping it going.
Yeah, I'm in your boat. I don't anticipate seeing Daniel Brown there by Sunday afternoon. I'd be shocked by that, to be honest. You know, a lot of times you'll see that in the majors, a guy will come out fast and do well for the first couple days. That's why there's 72-hole events that kind of separate the best players from the players who are kind of doing with smoke and mirrors. And sometimes if you dive into their numbers and you can see, you know, he might have just had an exceptional day. Now, they're all tour players, and they're all great players. But, you know, there's still a jump from, you know, your average tour player at 200 in the world or whatever, a huge jump, to, like, the Shane Lowrys and the Scottie Schefflers of the world. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm surprised. I expected him to go out and shoot a 76 or something today, especially the conditions are tough. And but it looks like now he's putting for eagle. You know, he's been playing well. He's hanging in there. He's probably oozing with confidence right now, so hopefully that carries him through. But I got to think at some point over the weekend, he's from England. This is his biggest tournament in the world. That pressure might creep up on him because he's never been in this situation before, and his body and his mind probably don't know how to handle it.
Going to be interesting to see how he finishes out here. He might have a birdie putt here as well to kind of keep a little bit of pressure on Shane Lowry. Jeff, before you go, though, anything coming up for tomorrow for Tee to Green?
Yeah, well, we're at Niagara Falls for the Porter Cup, which is exciting. Scores have been low there. Some really, really great players. We'll have a recap. We have our Duster Challenge tonight, one of our big fundraiser of the year. We have 108 players competing for the title of West New York's best putter for the 8th year in a row. Be under the lights at Glen Oak if people want to come by and check it out. It's actually sold out, if I'm not mistaken. But it'd be fun if you want to come by and watch the action and donate to the cause for the PGA Hope program. But yeah, we got a lot to talk about with the British Open. We have a 2-hour show from 7 to 9. We got the Porter Cup. We got the Duster. We're gonna have a lot of fun stuff to talk about tomorrow morning.
That's awesome. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the golf. Enjoy everything going on this weekend. And we'll talk again soon, my man.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
That was on the Wester Hotline, PGA Pro, and one of our Tee to Green hosts here on WGR, Jeff Mitas. We are going to take a quick timeout. Coming up, though, at the top of the hour, we're going to get back to football, but we're going to go to the AFC South. Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis. I find them to be one of the most interesting teams in football because of the super unknown factor. I think there's a lot of that in Buffalo. But for the Colts, it's at quarterback with Anthony Richardson. I want to kind of pick Kevin's brain there. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. But if you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And you're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick segment here before we get to the top of the hour, where we will be joined by Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis. Get a little check-in with the Colts here before camp starts next week. But some college football news, as it is media week for the MAC Conference. Pete Lembo, first year as UB head coach, and the coaches poll, though, for UB does have them finishing 10th in the MAC. Miami of Ohio in first place, Toledo second, and then below Buffalo, because they are in 10th, is Akron and Kent State. Going to be a tough rebuild for Pete Lembo and his staff, Lance Leipold. It has not been a good transition since Leipold went to Kansas, but I'm excited for this year. And I think I'm more excited for college football now than I have been in a long time, namely due to my favorite big-time team, Texas, is good again, but also the release of College Football 25 and the fact that I'm hearing it is a very, very good game. I'm getting it tonight, and I cannot wait to sit down and play it. I have not really played many video games in a long time, and this is going to be the first one I really sit down and kind of I'm going to sink some hours into this, and I am very, very excited to do so, even with the weather being gorgeous out. Another quick timeout here. When we come back, we will have Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis join the show for a little check-in with the Colts and everything going on in Indianapolis sports. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And this is WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick segment here before we get to the top of the hour, where we will be joined by Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis. Get a little check-in with the Colts here before camp starts next week. But some college football news, as it is media week for the MAC Conference. Pete Lembo, first year as UB head coach, and the coaches poll, though, for UB does have them finishing 10th in the MAC. Miami of Ohio in first place, Toledo second, and then below Buffalo, because they are in 10th, is Akron and Kent State. Going to be a tough rebuild for Pete Lembo and his staff. Lance Leipold, it has not been a good transition since Leipold went to Kansas, but I'm excited for this year. And I think I'm more excited for college football now than I have been in a long time, namely due to my favorite big-time team, Texas, is good again, but also the release of College Football 25 and the fact that I'm hearing it is a very, very good game. I'm getting it tonight, and I cannot wait to sit down and play it. I have not really played many video games in a long time, and this is going to be the first one I really sit down and kind of I'm going to sink some hours into this, and I am very, very excited to do so, even with the weather being gorgeous out. Another quick timeout here. When we come back, we will have Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis join the show for a little check-in with the Colts and everything going on in Indianapolis sports. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.